Well, I'm following on in some ways from what Dr. Fisher had to say about Teilhard de Chardin. But as Mr. Schaefer has outlined, Chardin takes a very broad macroscopic sweep on a canvas that is enormous. And what I'd like to do is to try to bring it down to a more pedestrian level, if you like, and to relate it to some of the developments, the reflections, the concepts that have been introduced in the various social sciences. First of all, I'd like to underline, though, one point that Dr. Fisher did mention, and before I do that, I'd like to cite to you what Socrates is supposed to have said about the nature of man. Because Cicero says that if you look and read Socrates and Plato, essentially what he's saying is that man is a creature who, when asked a rational question, can give a rational answer. Now, obviously, when you ask different questions, you get different answers. Now, Dr. Fisher suggested that man and society no longer evolve genetically so much as they evolve through social genetics, if you like, social mutations, social revolutions. In other words, by asking different questions to suit different kinds of needs, we come out with a different conception of what man is, or a different conception of what his problems are, and this is when a genuine advance or change is made. In other words, the way we perceive the problem determines the kind of question we ask, determines the kind of answer we give, and the things that we educate our children to start interiorizing. And a change in question essentially is a social revolution, and is essentially, as Dr. Fisher was making the point last week, a mutation at a different level than the sort we usually speak of genetically. Now, what I'd like to do, and I'm going to refer back to a paper I wrote a number of years ago and take excerpts from it, because it's a kind of a closely reasoned argument in some points, and I don't want to miss these, but I don't want you to sort of get lost, so if you do want me to stop to amplify something, please speak up or raise your hand. But what I want to do is to look at a theory, or several theories, of social change as they've been identified in culture, and to relate these at a much more specific level to the kinds of changes that are taking place than Teilhard did in his writings. I'm going to start with David Riesman. Perhaps you know David Riesman is he was a lawyer who became interested in psychoanalysis and psychiatry and sociology and anthropology. And he finally wrote a book which was called The Lonely Crowd, another book later, Faces in the Crowd. But essentially in this book, what he was arguing was this thesis, and I'm going to ask your indulgence for oversimplification.